Philippians 1, verses 7 and 8. These are God's words. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. So far, the reading of God's Word. So the Apostle Paul is talking about his Christian love for them, and we can see what are a couple of things that Christian love does for one another here, because he's been telling them that he rejoices over them. He thanks God, and he makes his requests for them with joy. And so that's a big part of Christian love, to rejoice over one another, to be thankful to God for one another, and also that he prays for them, which, Lord willing, we'll consider next week, his prayer for their love. And so one of the parts of the knowledge and discernment that he's going to be praying that they would grow in is understanding how to love one another. But here he's talking about two ways in which, or two causes of this love, and one is kind of judicial and legal, and the other one is kind of organic and living. The first one, he says, it is right for me to think this of you all. And he's been talking to them about the work that has begun in them and the work that will be completed in the day of Christ Jesus. So it is Jesus who works in them, but it's also Jesus who works in him. He too is a recipient of this initiating, carrying, completing work of grace. And in fact, right now, he's primarily occupied in two different things. One is in being chained up, and he calls that part of God's grace to him. It's part of God's work in his life that he's chained up. And in addition to that, he's defending and confirming the gospel. They can put chains on his ankles or hands, but they can't chain the word of God. And there's wonderful comparison of those two things, even at the very end of the book of Acts, how he is bound and chained, but the gospel is running free and running wild and successful. So he too is a partaker of grace, but they are not just partakers of grace, but they're partakers with him in that grace. They are identifying with him in both of those things. They took his being chained up as an opportunity. Oh, we finally have something we could do for the Apostle Paul. And they participate with him in the ministry of giving and receiving. They send to take care of his needs. In fact, he tells them later in the letter that they're the only church that responded that way to his imprisonment. So they have fellowship with him in that grace. They're participating in his chains, and of course, by supplying his needs. And I think part of the implication is praying for him, and probably sent to him, participating in his ministry as well. And so it's right in two different ways. One, it's right because he's reciprocating. It would be wrong. It would be an injustice for him not to see how they are loving him in those ways, and for him to love them in rejoicing over them and in praying to God for them. But it's also right because he's reflecting what God has done towards them. If God has begun a work in them, And God is going to complete that work in them. And there is eternal love that God has been pleased to set upon them. He needs to follow God in loving them. And that's what brings us not just to the legal, it's right for him to love them, both reciprocating to them and following God and what is right, but also organic, living source of his love. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all. That's another part of Christian love, isn't it? Desiring one another, desiring fellowship with one another. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the... And we, as Ralph is a likes to say, with the guts of Jesus Christ. The word there is the word, the Greek word for viscera. It primarily meant the heart and lungs and liver. It might be used of other internal organs as well, but it is a very physical, almost gross in how physical and intense or even intestinal the word is. And it tells us where the love is coming from, because the apostle is not loving them like this from his flesh. What's from his flesh? From his flesh is, what did Paul do before he was converted? Do you remember? He said, oh, I'm so thankful those people over there became Christians. I'm rejoicing over them. Oh, I'm really praying for this group of Christians over here. Is that what Paul was doing before he got converted, kids? He was hunting them down. There's no love for them from his flesh, but there is love for them from Christ. From Christ and his divine nature, from Christ and his human nature, as he gave himself for them. And this is a very kind of physical reminder that Jesus is loving us in glory. That he loves us. There's not a division in the person, but he loves us according to each nature perfectly. And even in his human nature, as he sits bodily on the throne of glory, he thanks God for us. Thank you, God, that you have kept these things from the wise and revealed them to these babies. He prays for us. He always lives to intercede for us. And he longs for us. You remember that prayer in John 17:24, that those whom you have given me would be with me where I am to see my glory. And even indicates that longing to the disciples, that the reason he's going is to make every preparation so that where he is, we can always be. And so Paul says, I'm not longing for you with my own guts. I'm longing for you with Jesus' guts. So these are the two great causes, or two of the great causes, the two great causes mentioned here of our Christian love for one another. One, it is right. It is right because of who God is, and his character defines what is right. And also because as we love one another, we kind of increase this mutual obligation of gratitude even to one another. And then because it comes organically from the life of Jesus, who is our life. And the more we grow in him, the more we're conformed to him, the more we would love one another, even with the guts of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in every situation that you would help us to do what is right. We're just thinking out of Psalm 125 a little while ago about how what is right for us is not to yield to evil, to give in to committing it ourselves or participating in it, even from wicked authorities whose days are numbered. But you have just reminded us also that it is right to love one another, to rejoice over one another, to pray for one another, to long for one another. And so we pray, Lord, that you would continue to grow us in righteousness. And we thank you that this is how you make us righteous, by growing us by the grace of Christ and by the knowing of Christ. And so we pray that as your Spirit continues to apply to us our union with your Son, our Lord Jesus, that the fruit of your Spirit would grow from us, including this aspect of that fruit that is love, so that as we grow in doing what is right, in loving one another, that it would be Christ's own love that is being produced in us, each unto the other, so that you, when you witness us, and when you behold the work that you are doing in us who have created us as new creatures, that you would say of this new creation work that it is very good, with all the pleasure that you have in your Son who is perfect and from whom the goodness comes, and in whose name we ask that you would be doing this. Amen.